Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we sit down with Todd Cravens, the president and CEO of Galaxy Gaming, on his new role with the company and his view of the table game industry. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. Todd Cravens joined Galaxy Gaming a year ago as Vice President of Business Development. He was promoted to President and CEO in July when previous CEO Robert Soche withdrew his license application in Nevada. As a result, Galaxy was licensed in Nevada, which will open up doors to new casinos and operators and other opportunities. Prior to joining Galaxy, Cravens was CEO of Americas for TCS John Huxley. He spoke with me at the Galaxy Gaming offices in Las Vegas in November. Across the universe, thought me under like a rest. Todd Cravens, thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast today. Great to catch up with you here at Galaxy Gaming. We've seen you in a few iterations of different companies, and it's nice to see you land here. And of course, you're president and CEO now, so
it's a
nice job. So you took over just a few months ago. What did you find here when you got here, and have you made any changes at this point?
So when I got here, I started the first of the year. I found a team that was kind of hungry for some management, some leadership. I think I also found customers that were looking for more from us, not just in product, but I think in other jurisdictions. So when you have large corporate customers and you can't serve all of their accounts, that's a little bit of an issue.
Right.
So one of the things that we're setting out to do now is, and we're focusing on a few areas, but one of them is definitely opening up some markets, bringing new products to those markets, things along those lines. But overall, I found a team here that was very interested in growing the company, very interested in growing themselves. And so from a standpoint of kind of coming in as a new manager, it wasn't a situation of a bunch of malcontents.
Sure.
It was people that were saying, okay, what are we doing next? And, and that's been made my job a lot easier.
Great. Well, I think some of the biggest news when you mentioned new markets is you just got licensed in Nevada, and you're based in Nevada. So to be able to actually serve the market now, it must be exciting. What does that mean to Galaxy?
So with Nevada means more than just Nevada. As you're aware, it's the gold standard.
Sure.
And so other jurisdictions look at it. From a standpoint of Nevada itself, it's huge for us. And we've already had really, really good response from customers. So we're doing a number of field trials currently. In the first quarter of next year, we'll be rolling out more of our electronics, the BJS system, the progressive system, with a number of customers around town. So that's really important for us. And obviously, a lot of our big, major corporate customers have a lot of properties here.
Sure.
So that's important. On the other side of it, we're in the process of getting licensed in other jurisdictions, and getting a Nevada license absolutely helps us in these other areas.
Sure.
So we're pending in California, we're pending in Ohio, we're pending in Wisconsin, which I traveled to Ohio and Wisconsin last week. And then we're looking at, right now we're putting together our plan for 2018. Where do we want to go next? Having Nevada license is a big deal. For us, it was a 3-year odyssey, and we're really, really thankful for it. And we hope to be great corporate citizens for the board.
Okay. So you replaced Rob Soche, who was really the founder of the company. What role does he play in the company right now?
So Rob oversees product and business development. So Rob is, the founder of the company, the guy who created Lucky Ladies, all that type of deal. And he has a tremendous, I think, mind for games. And at the end of the day, I think that's where his passion is. I don't think his passion is for running the day-to-day minutiae of, of a business. And I think he would tell you that himself. So, he remains the majority shareholder of the company. He's on the board of directors. But his day-to-day, when we talk about a new game or we talk about some business development work, he lights up. And so from that standpoint, he's been great. And then the other part of it is that, I would be silly to discount 20 years of running this company if I don't go in and ask him some questions from time to time to get some advice. So from that standpoint, I will tell you the term I use with the change here, I think Rob's really done it with a lot of graciousness. Right? It was very public with the change, with what went on with Nevada. And he handled it, I thought, quite gracefully.
Right.
And he continues to do that here in the office, too.
Great, great.
Yeah.
So you mentioned some of the technology you're introducing. How important is technology? You have some great products, some great content, but technology is really the cutting edge of the business. How important is that to the company right now?
So I would tell you that more so than ever. And I think that one of the things that, the four areas that we're focusing on, product is number one. And within product, technology is a big part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give you an example. Up in the state of Washington, until the beginning of this year, the number one game up there for the last 20 years has been Spanish 21.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it's hard to dislodge a game
right.
in a market that has been there. So we came out with a game called Player's Edge, and it was a similar product, but we put our BJS and our electronic progressive system on there. And it caught fire.
Yeah.
And so we have now roughly 45-50% of the market in 6 months up there. And so what's interesting to me is that it's not just the progressives, but our methodology on it is that we are looking for a higher frequency, lower payout.
Mm-hmm.
And that has resonated with players because we're seeing the participation rates go up. And operators love it because they look and they say, look, someone wins a six-figure progressive.
Sure.
They take that money and they go buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
They won a $5,000-$6,000 progressive. It goes right back into the table.
Right, right.
And so we've actually used that methodology across Oklahoma, the UK, across 21+3, Player's Edge, and 3-Card Prime in the UK.
Right.
And it sticks. And so I would say technology for just technology's sake is one thing.
Right.
But I think the fact that some of the really smart guys here are putting their gray matter and coupling it,
mm-hmm.
saying how do we really want to skin this cat, that becomes important. From there, I think there's more that we can do. I think that one of the things that we hear from our customers right now is that they would like more data. Well, we're already grabbing data at
right.
the table right now through
mm-hmm.
sensors and things like that. So now how can we take that, package it up, and deliver it to
right.
them in an interesting way? So from those standpoints, technology becomes very important to us. So our business, almost 20% of our business now is through the progressive systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think that there's going to be more growth to that. We think that it makes our games stickier because we think it makes the games more interesting.
Sure.
So from that standpoint, we are hiring, another, we will triple the size of our R&D team next year. And the majority of that is going to be on the technology side of things.
Okay, great, great. So, let's talk about progressives. I mean, when they were first introduced with Caribbean Stud back in the old days, it was a revolution.
Sure.
What are some of the new developments in the progressive area?
So, progressives, there haven't been anything crazy right now. I do think that some of the things that we're working on right now in the, Asian play that we'll be releasing in the next
right.
couple of months, a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we need that. And one of the things that we're spending a lot of time on is that we're not looking to revolutionize or come out with this. We're spending a lot of time with our customers after we've installed and said, okay, how's this pay table working for you? What are we seeing with the trends?
Right.
So we analyze this stuff with them. It's not a set it and forget it type
right.
situation.
Sure. Right.
And I think one of the things that our customers like about that is that that's not necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm.
So once you get it, collect my fee, that type of deal.
Right.
Because I know that if we don't do a good job of maintaining that and continuing to improve the electronics for them, the next phone call we get,
mm-hmm.
come get this thing out of here.
Right.
Right. And so I think for us, it's more of the ongoing partnership with them and saying, okay, what's working, what's
mm-hmm.
not working.
Right.
We are introducing over the next 3-6 months, we'll have some other interesting things out there. Can't really
sure.
unwrap that right
okay.
now. But I think that the Asian play area, which is where we really focus
mm-hmm.
on, where we've had a lot of customers ask for, is one area that we have a lot of focus on.
Great, great.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump to that. Baccarat, has been a growing table game here at Vegas. We have the Lucky Dragon, which
sure.
is essentially all Baccarat.
Yeah.
Is this a trend in the gaming industry right now that Baccarat is becoming a much more important table game to the casino operators?
So absolutely. So, I mean, it's not that we just see it here on the Strip. A lot of our customers up in the state of Washington,
mm-hmm.
That's their next big ask. They said,
okay.
here's the hole that we have right now. We
mm-hmm.
need to do something a little bit different on there. And, I think you see it in, other places that maybe you wouldn't. You go to Kansas City, and they're running Baccarat tournaments.
Sure,
people
right.
come, so it's not a regionalized.
Mm-hmm.
I think Baccarat is a really, really important part of it.
Right.
And I don't know, obviously there's been Easy Bac out there for a while, and,
mm-hmm.
and I think some of the ways that we're trying to think about this and how to skin the cat a little bit is going to be a little bit different on
mm-hmm.
there. But I think Baccarat, not just now, but I think long-term, becomes a really, really important game for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's a unique game because in the past it's one win, all win type
sure.
deal. So on a progressive, how do you change that around? We have some kind of unique
mm-hmm.
ideas about that.
Right.
But it's not just Bach. I think it's Paigao as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of Asian segment is important. In fact, I just had lunch yesterday with a fellow who oversees all of table games for the largest operator here in the United States.
Okay.
Specifically asking for Asian game help.
Yeah.
What's the next Asian game? Those types of
right.
things. So I think, you know, I look at Bach as part of a growing segment of Asian play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. It's such a unique game. Do people, I mean, is it just Asians that are playing it now? Or do you see the crossover?
No, so I was at Potawatomi last summer,
mm-hmm.
and I was talking to the table games manager there, and he said that the next biggest demographic after Asian play
mm-hmm.
were African-American males.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you would have given me 14 guesses, I probably wouldn't have picked that.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's a game that's been around for a long
mm-hmm.
time. It's a pretty easy game to understand. I think there's a low learning curve there.
Very
I think that's
so.
Very helpful
mm-hmm.
on those types of things. So, no, from that standpoint, I think that it's not just when I say Asian, obviously comes from, you know, that type of
right.
look. But, no, I think it's open to a lot of different folks there.
Yeah. Well, it's a form of Baccarat dealer, right? I really enjoy the game itself because
absolutely.
It is simple and it's easy to understand. And it gets exciting when you see the runs and the you
people
know, the patterns and things like that.
It feels like more than any other game, the superstition just
right.
Wears out. And I think that kind of adds to the intrigue of it.
Sure, right? Sure, right. So another technology that really hasn't advanced that much since it was introduced years ago is the kind of table tracking technology that we've seen some of the big companies, you know, play around with and
mm-hmm.
hasn't really gone very much further. Where do you see that going now with the RFID chips and the shuffler that will read the cards as they come out, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I think that I've seen a number of camera technologies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's, I think that's where it's going to get interesting
mm-hmm.
there. You know, we looked at some technology that actually used the Kinect camera out
mm-hmm.
of the Xbox,
right.
you know, because they had three different cameras in there,
right.
Time of flight, you know, infrared, all those types of things. And I like that because I think there's so many people outside of our business that have already used that for so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't need to be specific. I think RFID is tough because of the cost of re-chipping a joint,
right?
You know, unless it's a small place and people can really justify that. I think the camera technology is going to get there. But I think in the overall, I don't have a customer that says, I don't want accurate data.
Right.
Everyone is
sure,
looking
right.
for it. I think the key when we think about this is that, you know, we will go down this path and we do have some plans of regards to how we are going to capture that data. Our role is that we think that we're going to be really good at capturing the data,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to be a player tracking system.
Right.
We want to be agnostic. We
mm-hmm.
want to basically have a handshake. If you're running an IGT system or a Bally system or what have
mm-hmm.
you, give us the SDK. We'll make the handshake. We'll dump it, and
right.
you can look at it however you want.
Mm-hmm.
So we think that we can do a good job capturing that and delivering it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the camera technology is probably the way where that's going to go.
Yeah, okay,
yeah.
great. So another innovation in the slot world that hasn't really filtered down to the table world is a participation game. I mean, there's a lot of slot machines that, you know, you split the revenue from the operator to the manufacturer. How come that hasn't happened in the table game world? So
there's a bit of, you know, in a lot of areas, some regulatory issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that in some situation, you can say that there is that in the progressive systems.
Mm-hmm.
So in a progressive system, there could be a flat fee for the
mm-hmm.
electronics, or there could be a per bet fee.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily all the dollars dropped
mm-hmm.
on there, but on a per bet fee. So you could actually look at it that way, that there is some participation.
Right.
We don't really use it that way because it's really the fee on
mm-hmm.
there. But that's probably the closest thing that we've seen out there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you mentioned that this new game in Washington State that's taken a lot of the market. What other games have either become successful for you or you have a lot of faith that they will become successful?
Yeah, so I think that that's one of the things that has been maybe an issue for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at our business until, say, Player's Edge, I think that we have been lucky from the standpoint that we've had such great legacy games
mm-hmm.
and we haven't introduced a whole lot of brand new stuff
sure,
outside
right.
of Mad Card Flush.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that we've taken up is that we're putting together a plan where we have to have a certain percentage of our revenue come from products that we've released in the last 2 years, mm-hmm. right? And that's the commitment that we're giving all of our customers out there, and that's the demand that we're putting on ourselves. So mm-hmm. I would tell you in 2018, we're looking to release at least 5 new felt titles. All of those would be coupled with progressive models on mm-hmm. there, and that's just on the game side. As we look at some of the other analytical side, things like that, mm-hmm. We are going to have pretty robust roadmap going forward. Mm-hmm. You know, when I started looking at our revenue, we have 2 of our titles that account for a tremendous amount of revenue. They're over 15 years old.
Sure. Right.
So you can look at that one way and go, great games.
Right.
Or look at them the other way and go, let's get a little longer too. So right. one of the things that Rob is spending a lot of time on is actually also going back into our catalog and saying, okay, how do we spruce these things up? Mm-hmm. It's time, yeah. right? And so I think that, you know, the 4 or 5 new titles is outside of the fact of us kind of going in and cleaning up and how do we make 21 plus 3 better? How right. do we make Lucky Ladies better?
Sure.
And so we're spending a lot of time on that stuff yeah. as well.
Okay, yeah. great. One of the guys who's been involved with your company for quite some time is Derek Webb, the mm-hmm. inventor of probably the most successful proprietary game of all time, Street Card Poker. What does he bring to your company, and is he still involved to the extent that you want him to be?
He's really not. He's a shareholder. Mm-hmm. He has a small interest in okay. the company right now, but he is not involved in the day-to-day okay. operations. You know, I've spent a little bit of time with him. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm around, I'd love to pick his brain and sure. ask some questions because mm-hmm. I'd be a dummy not to.
Right.
But, yeah, he's not involved in okay. the day-to-day operations.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So, when you're looking at new games, you know, most of them these days are certainly poker derivative or blackjack mm-hmm. derivative. Do you see any games beyond that, or does it that's that really the rule that it has to be one or the other?
I hope not.
Yeah.
Right? Because
mm-hmm.
I think that there's been a lot of work done there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is a need for a great roulette game. Mm-hmm. We do have some thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think something that'll be one of the titles that we release next year, 1 to 2 of those. So I think that's important. I think we've already touched on Baccarat.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think there are some ways to kind of spruce up PyGal as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're looking at those types of derivatives, but then we're also saying, okay, you know, we've had such great success with High Card Flush,
right.
you know, and that kind of transcended
mm-hmm.
any type of deal. And so when we're thinking about things right now, yeah, we're going to have some side bets. Yeah, we're going to have some derivatives. But we also have to throw some spaghetti on the wall and see what else sticks as
right,
far
sure.
as something that's different. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, High Card Flush has been great, and it's a different style game. Some
right.
people have come up with some kind of similar games since
mm-hmm.
then, but they haven't really hit us on that.
Right.
So I would hate to ever say, nope, that's all we got.
Mm-hmm.
If we did that, I would think that'd be pretty close-minded on there.
Right.
So I think that we'll do pretty well with some new games on there as well. But we're actually looking at some, you know, say 21 games, and not just as a side bet, but as a premium 21
mm-hmm.
game. So we're thinking about how are some of the mechanisms, ability to change on that. You see that right now with Zapid
mm-hmm.
or Freebet
right.
or some of those other things out there. So we're also looking at, okay, what other different mechanisms within that game make it kind of interesting. So, yeah, I mean, poker and BJ obviously lead the way, but I do think there's room for a great roulette game. I think that we can do some interesting things through progressives on Baccarat
mm-hmm.
and PyGal. And then, you know, I put it to our R&D team to find out what's the next category.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's important.
Sure. Right. Yeah, no question about that. So another technology that's really expanding in the industry is electronic table games.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas of getting into that or even just licensing
yeah.
some of your
so we have licensed. So we have licensed some of our product currently to the Interblock guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely. You know, we license a lot of our product, our intellectual product, to the iGaming guys over
mm-hmm.
in Europe. And we've had tremendous success with that. And, you know, we have an opportunity, I think, to do that in the ETG market here in the States,
mm-hmm.
as well as over in the UK market where we have a strong business and throughout Europe. So we do very, very well with over there. And so, you know, it may not be necessarily the players that people think of in the Americas.
Sure,
you know,
right.
it could be Novomatic
mm-hmm.
over there because
sure.
of their strength. And when you think about coming out with a great roulette game, well, it might be easier to actually deal that game, pay out on electronic or an ETG
mm-hmm.
than it would be on a felt type deal.
Right.
So now when we think about, excuse me, when we think about product, I don't just think about it, what does it mean within the casino?
Sure.
When you look at New Jersey, when you look at now Pennsylvania, and the business that we've been growing for licensing
mm-hmm.
our iGaming revenue, we think about, okay, does this have a plan for the iGaming world?
Okay.
Does this play well in ETGs? And so I believe that our content As we go forward, you know, 3 years, 5 years from now, especially in the States, there's going to be more iGaming, not less.
Yeah.
And when I sit and talk with our customers, one of the things that's really important to them is they want to make sure that they're able to offer the same experience, the same games, either online
or in their
casino.
Sure.
And so that's one of the things that when we're thinking about product and we're thinking about distribution, we're like, okay, are we making sure that it kind of ticks all these boxes? Mm-hmm. Does it play well that way?
Right.
And I think one of the things that becomes kind of interesting is that, you know, if you start to do some things on the social side, it's a great way to A-B test some games rather than spending time, getting an okay, doing a field trial, getting it and starting to mess around with games that way. So I think there's actually a lot of different avenues now where you can monetize your IP, not just on the felt, but through ETGs and through iGaming.
Sure. So you're looking at all these different channels then, for delivery.
We are. I mean, the iGaming, for us, iGaming is the fastest growing part of our business.
Great, great. So back to the felt, we've seen the table games grow as a segment in through almost all the casinos now.
Sure.
You know, while the slot machines are shrinking, table games seem to be growing. Do you see that continuing over the next few years?
I do, from a standpoint that I think people are still looking for that kind of social engagement on there. I would say that if it doesn't grow, I mean, I think one of the areas where, you know, where that may stay a little bit stagnant, and the thing kind of getting back to, say, the ETGs, that stadium style deal. You know, when I was at TCS, we were we distributed the Novomatic product, and we did that first zone up in Montreal. And when I went up there that first time, and I was that these great dealers up on the stage and that one-to-many approach, and I was like, this is pretty cool because it was still that great social environment, but they were using technology to do that. So I think that the table game, by and large, will continue to grow. How it's delivered may not be how we think about it today. It may not be felt, for lack of a better term. But I may have a tablet in a facility, you know, like they do in some of the places in the UK, or maybe the ETG or the one-to-many approach. But I think there's still something about table games. I still think there's something about the social element of it. You never see, you know, I call it the thousand-yard stare when people are at a slot machine and they're just tapping a button, they're kind of looking out. I don't see that at a table game.
Right.
People are more engaged.
Sure.
And I think that if that's the type of element that you're looking for, I think table games is for you. And from that standpoint, I think every once in a while, people want a little break from having a screen in front of their face.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, if we do our job right and give them a good experience, you know, that's on us.
Sure.
We have to do that.
Great. Let's talk about your business. You know, you're competing against the 800-pound gorilla in the market.
Who's that?
Well, we can name it. It's Shuffle Master.
Sure.
You know, they do a great job, certainly.
They do.
But how difficult is it for you to convince a casino operator that you have, you know, as good a product as they do, or you should be chosen over Shuffle Master?
Yeah, I think that, you know, before I got here, I think that was probably a tougher discussion, and it's not because I got here, but it was, I think that the company, for a long period of time, didn't have the full portfolio to answer all the needs. Mm-hmm. So we didn't, until a year or two ago, we didn't have the ability to walk in and say, you know what, we can cover your entire floor and do those things. So, I mean, I think that we're a little bit different than Shuffle Master. Mm-hmm. I mean, Shuffle Master obviously is part of a big company, and they have a lot of tentacles, and they're focused on systems, and they're focused on slots, and they're focused on shufflers, and they've got lottery, and they've got ideas.
Right.
You know, we do one thing.
Right.
We make table games, and I think that if there's one area that I think that we have an advantage over them, it's focus, and that's all we do. And so, you know, I don't think that there's this world where, you know, we end up with 100% of the market because of that.
Sure.
But I do think that there is room for us to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a nice year this year. This year we'll continue to grow, and we'll do it again next year. And it's really only table games.
Right.
And so when we talk with our customers, they like the fact of kind of where we are on the service side of things. Obviously, it's important that you have great titles. So something like Player's Edge up in Washington helps grow us. We can tell a great story there. And I think that let's not discount the fact that I think it's important to an operator to make sure that there's competition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's whilst iGames and Shuffle Master, they're ahead of us out there. It is good to make sure that we're keeping everyone honest and that, you know, we have competitive pricing and do those things. So for me, you know, Shuffle is a great company, and I think with what they've done over there and turned a lot of things around, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't compete against side games. I compete against a small little,
right.
Smaller part of right. their business on there. But from that standpoint, you know, where I hope we beat them is in focus. Mm-hmm. And they're a good competitor to us, and I'd rather have a good competitor than a poor competitor.
Mm, great.
Yeah.
All right, well, this is an exciting time for you. This is your first opportunity to really direct the growth of a company. I mean, you certainly were involved in the U.S. side of the TCS business,
yep.
but you know, this is really an opportunity for you to grow this company, you know, to the next level. Would you like to see Galaxy in the next 2 to 3 years?
So I think in the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see us in a multitude of new jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have new products. You know, I think one of the areas that we want to do is to make sure that we grow different parts of our business.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be reliant just on felt,
mm-hmm.
which is where the company has been for a
sure.
number of years. So I like the idea of licensing our IP to the
mm-hmm.
iGaming folks, to the ETGs out there, getting more exposure
right.
for it. I'd like us to do a bit more on the social space because I think that's a wonderful way to grow our player base
mm-hmm.
out there. And I think that... I think the four areas that we as a company are really spending a lot of time on, and you know, it's something that everyone around here is tired of hearing, is
mm-hmm.
is our people.
Right.
We want to make sure that we get the right people in the right places
mm-hmm.
and train people up. You know, I think for a long time, you know, this was essentially a sole proprietorship, and
right.
all the decisions went through Rob because
mm-hmm.
this was his baby,
sure.
and still is his baby.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a lot of able people here, and I think we can give them more. So I'm
mm-hmm.
pushing down more. We're developing our people to do that. The other one is process. And as you might imagine, with everything we've gone through from the compliance side, we have to start doing things a little bit different, a little
right.
bit more professional. We can't do things the way that we used to do them when we were a $4 or $5 million a year company.
Right.
You know, next year, if we're $20 million plus, and
mm-hmm.
a couple years after that, $30 million plus, we have to have our processes in place. And that means everything from compliance to how we interact with customers, how we run service calls, how we do all those types of deals. Product is the third one that we're spending a lot of time on. And as I mentioned, we'll be tripling the R&D
mm-hmm.
team here because I realize, to your point, we're going up against some guys that have a lot of resources.
Right.
And while we may be the cute, adorable guys that everybody wants to do business
mm-hmm.
with,
right.
If you don't have the product to back it up,
mm-hmm.
good luck.
Right.
And then I think the fourth one is really our customer focus. And I kind of call it customer obsession. We, as I mentioned, you know, we do pretty well with our customers, I think. And we've had a lot of loyal customer base
mm-hmm.
for a period of time. But I think we could do more.
Right.
You know, for a long period of time, we did set it and forget it. We didn't monitor what were the... earnings of those BJS games.
Sure, right.
We didn't follow up. We didn't do those things to the level that I think we ought to be doing them,
mm-hmm.
and as we're starting to move to do those now. And I think everything that we're doing in regards to our roadmap for our product is all customer-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want just a number of our propeller heads in a lab coming up with the next thing to slice bread and no customer wanting it.
Right.
We want those customers to really be driving those things. So those four areas for us, I think, if we kind of make sure that those are always in the back of our mind,
mm-hmm.
I think we'll be in pretty good shape.
Yep.
So, you know, for me, as you mentioned, I'm really excited about this role
mm-hmm.
because I've always been excited about the company.
Sure, right.
You know, we're not in California yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're just opening Nevada. I mean, there's, you know, I have very little product in the state of Florida. I mean, these are all great areas,
right?
Right,
sure.
And so I think that there's a lot of growth. I think there's a lot of opportunity for us. It's making sure to realize that we are still a small company.
Mm-hmm.
We can't do everything
right.
all the time. But if we execute well, this could be a good little business.
Right.
And
right.
so from that standpoint, I'm really lucky that I got a great team around me.
Mm-hmm.
We got a good board of directors and people that I can bounce ideas off of. And so from that standpoint, it's, you know, as they say, it takes a village. You know, this is not
sure.
me. There's
right.
a lot of people here. And I'm just trying to kind of herd the cats a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it sounds like... you and Rob have the same passion for table games, so that's always a good thing. And you know, with the two of you working together, and of course the board and all the all your employees, I think this company is bound to become a success. So congratulations again, and thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.